heating up.
That's the country song, right? Remember when?
Thank you.
Jacob Bigelow.
Yeah. Whenever my open is concocted, throw that in there.
He's on fire.
Jacob Bigelow, Huskers Illustrated, on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.
Boom shakalaka.
All right, boom shakalaka. That's what the Jack Mitchell softball band of misfits did last night to the team that they played. The Average Joes, I believe, as Jacob Bigelow joins us now on the 42 Degrees of Source Hotline. Hello, Jacob.
Hello, Happer. How are you?
Good. So tell us about the big win last night. Big shoes.
Big shoes. Resilient comeback by the fellas after a just disastrous top of the second inning where we allowed 10 runs and we're down 10-4 in the second inning. Just a resilient comeback. Bats came alive, even mine, which was a shock to many, including myself. And it was a total team effort, from top to bottom. Some stingy defense to close it out the final two innings of the game, a couple clean innings. It was a good team effort, thorough, top to bottom.
Give us just quickly, I have a couple questions about this softball team, but could you please give us a quick scouting report on our boss, Mark Onweiler, and why he has not gotten a hit yet? I believe he's the only one left.
He came pretty close. If he didn't, smoke Max Olson in the elbow with a line drive last night, he had made good contact, made good, it looked good coming off the bat. He played in a warm-up game last night, which he said he recorded multiple hits.
I worry that he's in his own head now with the playing in a warm-up game. It's not good.
He might be. He just might be. I can't speak to that for sure, but he manned the hot corner pretty well last night at third. Still found a way to sacrifice in a couple runs too, but yeah, still looking for that first hit.
I was told that the team that you guys beat last night lost 20-4 in their first game. Can you confirm this?
I can confirm this, yes.
are you still just happy to get the win, or I guess does the feeling change based on the quality of opponents? I guess, what have you learned about yourselves through 2 weeks?
I think the only way to go after last week clearly was up.
Definitely, that's true.
And regardless of competition, a win is a win. I think we had 19 hits last night. Plenty of contribution top to bottom in the order, including me at the very bottom of said order. But it's good for confidence, good for mojo, morale never wavered throughout the week, even after last week's performance. And then we go on to find out that the team that smoked us smoked another team again last night, 24-0.
Makes you feel better.
So makes you feel a little better. Yes.
Are you feeling like maybe you can get a few more wins, or I guess how is the confidence pretty high right now?
I wouldn't say it's too high. I don't think it's a never too high, never too low. I think it's a never too high, never too low thing. We weren't too down in the dumps after getting smoked 30-0. We were just kind of like, well, that just happened. What the hell just happened? Like, it was just kind of more shock than like downtrodden. But I think we're not going to be too full of ourselves, and we're on to next Monday.
It's a good quality, even keel. Even some of the best teams get no hit in slow pitch softball sometimes. That's what I always say. it's good. Hey, it's a good attitude.
Yeah, I mean that's how I'm going about it. Like I said, I made contact with a ball in a slightly competitive atmosphere for the first time since the sixth grade last night, considering that's when I stopped playing baseball as a kid. So it personally for me was good for the confidence, and then for the group, obviously we contributions throughout the lineup and a couple clean innings to finish it off.
Okay, good. Well, I'm happy for you guys. Good to see one go in. Good to see one go in. That's for sure. We'll keep very close eyes on what happens next week with the Jack Mitchell softball experience, and we'll check in again. Let's go to the portal, though, Jacob. So the news over the last hour or so here is that Frankie Fiddler is off to off to Michigan State. You know, that's a really interesting kind of landing spot for him, but went on his visit to Michigan State, really enjoyed it, and that's where he's going to end up. Your thoughts on that pairing between those two?
I think it's a good fit. I think, you know, the last couple of years, you know, Michigan State has been pretty guard heavy, and they've had a lot of, you know, inside post players that have been rather hit or miss. But in that in-between spot on the wing, it's definitely been – there's been a lot to be desired for Michigan State. And to bring in a guy like Frankie, I mean, you know, we'll see what his role is, obviously. But, I mean, you know, they've brought in transfers on the wing in the past. Joey Hauser felt like he was in college for a decade, but yep. He was pretty solid there in that, you know, in the transfer wing shooter role. That was kind of the first thing that popped into my mind when, you know, the Frankie to Michigan State thing started popping up. I jokingly called him Frankie Hauser.
Nice.
But, that may be the, you know, that may be the first thing that comes to mind for me, but I think it's a good fit. And, you know, getting to play for Tom Izzo and, you know, everything that goes into Michigan State basketball is a lot of, you know, it's pretty tough to pass up. So I'm looking forward to what the next year holds for Frankie.
What do you think that means for Chucky Hepburn?
I don't know if it means too
if anything.
Much.
Yeah.
If anything, I mean, you know, Frankie went on the visit to, you know, Michigan State, and then, you know, I think he probably enjoyed it more than he thought he would, and that, you know, may have led to, you know, a domino effect with Chucky, and you know maybe he went to Michigan State and realized maybe this might be the place for me, and if he wasn't going to go to Madison, maybe that was, you know, you get what I'm getting at.
Sure.
But that's just a guess. But it, you know, I don't think it means anything too substantial for Chucky, and I think we'll hear some finality for his destination here. Not going to say it's going to happen today, but rather soon we'll get some finality for Chucky.
As far as what Nebraska's done in the portal, we did a segment about this yesterday and sort of what they've gotten, and you and I have talked about it a little bit. Just, you know, obviously it lacks, like, you lose to Texas A&M in the NCAA tournament, and you're like, man, we kind of got out physicaled and pushed around a little bit. And you'd think the reaction to that would be, all right, let's kind of beef up and do that ourselves. That has not been the reaction from Nebraska basketball. But with that being said, I really don't mind how they've thrown it together. It does probably lack a high-end ceiling, but it does seem like a coherent, you know, capable Big Ten basketball team for next year. I guess, what's your takeaway on what they've done so far?
I'd agree with you. I mean, it's, you know, obviously the two most recent additions in Griffith and Estesian, you know, they've got Big Ten experience under their belt. You know, they're not going to be too intimidated walking into Assembly Hall or Mackey Arena or any of the, you know, the places in the Big Ten, because they've been there before. They've got the, you know, the Big Ten experience under their belt, and they've both shown the potential to be you know, good shooters. You know, it kind of gives off a, you know, I can fix him kind of, you know, like guys coming off the down years, looking to maybe, you know, get in the lab and, you know, have Fred Hoiberg play shot doctor. But I mean, I think it's coherent, and, you know, it's not that as much, you know, like you said, there isn't as much, you know, lateral quickness, to put it lightly.
Nice. But, thanks, Rick Pitino.
You know, Cause my initial thought, you know, when I was sitting in the press room in Memphis, and I thought, like, you know, the popped into my head was that Creighton Baylor game in 2014, because that was the game that arguably, you know, made Mac, you know, get more athletic than that team, at least, you know, look for more, you know, athletic guys, and obviously they were going to the Big East and all that. But that was a comp, I thought, and then, you know, Nebraska has not followed that blueprint, to say the least. But I mean, it's coherent. I will give them that.
I just don't think it does them any good to go back into something that Fred Hoiberg's not completely comfortable with, and try and, you know, jigsaw puzzle a whole bunch of, like, athletic pieces together and think about the shooting later. Now, to your point, you know, the shooting on the team that's supposed to shoot it well, like, that would still need some work as well. So that makes sense. But, like, it does them no good to like shoot their shot at this athletic team with a high ceiling, have it not work out, and then we're talking about Fred potentially getting, you know, fired again. Like, I'm cool with the idea of Nebraska basketball establishing a establishing a floor, rather, of a team that is always going to be around or in the NCAA tournament, and whether you make it or not, like, we kind of go from there. Like, I think that's the idea, and I appreciate that so far.
Yeah, and I'd echo that sentiment too. I mean, I think you and I are in, you know, are in lockstep on, you know, for Nebraska basketball. I mean, the game, you want the games in late January and February to be meaningful basketball games, games with something on the line where you're at least in the discussion, where people aren't, you know, looking at the depth charts for spring football in late January and, you know, Steve fiending for that. That should be the goal for Nebraska basketball, you know, every season. And no, I agree, you know, establishing a floor, that it's definitely, I appreciate it too. It's, yeah. And, you know, we saw what it looks like, you know, the first few years under Fred with shooting their shot at, right, you know, right when a guy gets his fourth star on Rivals, and seeing how that ended up. But I mean, and then they've obviously put a lot of emphasis on fit and culture fit and, that too. So they know what they're doing, and they know, you know, what the profile they're looking for is to, you know, fit in with what they're attempting to build.
CJ Wilcher ending up at Texas A&M is pretty funny, just for the bit of Nebraska and Texas A&M being connected forever and ever and ever.
It is. I mean, that picture of him tipping the cowboy hat, I mean, that is
pretty good.
Next level. That is next level pretty good. Yeah, and we just got done talking about how athletic Texas A&M is, and then, you know, that's not the first word that comes to mind when I think CJ Wilcher, but hey,
no.
I mean, if Buzz Williams, you know, liked what he saw in Memphis, I guess, but it appears there, you know, A&M's doing work in the portal. They got him, Pharrell Payne. They're in the final two for Jordan Pope from Oregon State, who can go get a bucket. So they're going all in on the portal game down in Aggieland.
Yeah. Man, I wonder what the next couple weeks still have available for us. Like, there's the portal combat never ends in college basketball. So there's still more to be done out there, I think. Jacob Bigelow of Huskers Illustrated, he'll be all over it. You could follow him on Twitter at Jacob A. Bigelow. Jake, appreciate it as always, my friend. See you later.
Yep, thanks, Hap. Appreciate it. Have a good rest of the week, man.
Jacob Bigelow, who is also a proud member of the softball team. The very good and normal softball team.
Gotta cherish the wins. Never know when they're going to come.
You too.
Might have just met a buzzsaw in week one.
That's what they're trying to tell you.
Mm-hmm. That's the spin.
That's what they're trying to tell you.
The JMSE spin.
Yeah. I wouldn't fall into that trap.
Many would also say the team they beat, not good.
Also not good, but they handled business.
Mm-hmm.
They stood on business, as the kids are saying these days.
Got to win the games you're supposed to win.
And sometimes the hardest thing to do is what you're expected to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Somebody said that once. All right. We'll be back with more still. Oh, we still got to talk about this Crossroads thing.
Oh, yeah.
Which is pretty funny. I'm sure Josh has opinions.
Who, me?
Yeah, you. Next on 1620 The Zone.